When we're young, we learn how the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels. They are similar. And as we age and listen to the Gospels every Sunday, over the years, we begin to notice how the similar Gospels are also different, so to speak. Each one was written for a particular purpose, a particular group. You know that we've been listening to Luke's gospel. What is unique in Luke's gospel is what we just began today, and it's exciting. What's unique in Luke's gospel is what we call the travel account. And it begins with our Lord being resolutely determined to walk to Jerusalem. Now, for the next 18 weeks, when you come to Mass, we are going to be listening to lessons from our Lord as he walks to Jerusalem to be crucified for us. This travel account in Luke takes 10 chapters of his gospel. So when you come to Mass in the next 18 weeks, ask yourself, what is my Lord going to teach me today as he walks with a resolute determination to die for me in Jerusalem? Our first lesson is a good one. As he begins his walk, our first lesson is how he is rejected. And this is interesting. We discover why some people then, during the time of our Lord, and some people now, in our time, cannot follow Christ, don't want to follow Christ. We learn why, and we shouldn't be surprised then, should we? We learn why some people could care less about the Christian faith. Why some people could care less about eternal redemption offered to them by our Lord. And it happens in three encounters. Do you notice? Our Lord encounters three potential followers, and it appears Jesus is rejected by them all. And they all teach us something. So as our Lord is walking to Jerusalem, the first guy on the side of the road said, I will be your disciple wherever you go. And Jesus said, fine. Here's the cost. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And the man doesn't respond because he can't persevere. This man has zeal. Lord, I want to follow you. But his will is weak. I call this man the New Year's Christian. The resolution Christian. I want to do it, but it's hard for me to do it. Happens to me all the time. I'm trying to start another Dostoevsky novel. I just finished The Brothers Karamazov a while ago. For three times, I started his new novel, Crime and Punishment. I want to do it. I got zeal to do it, but I just can't get it done. That's who this guy is. I have to exercise regularly, or I'll virtually lose my mind and run out of ideas. Went to the gym this past. I'll tell you what, the gym in the middle of June looks different than in the middle of January. Everybody has the zeal to exercise, but the will is weak. That's who that guy is, and that's who I am. The second man Jesus calls outright he finds this man on the side of the road and he says to him, "Follow me." Imagine your Redeemer, Jesus, saying to you, "Follow me." And the man says, "Okay, but..." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead. We're proclaiming the kingdom of God." He finds a reason not to follow our Lord, to avoid him. I call this man the excused Christian. All the excuses we make. When I run into people from time to time, I'll ask them, and I don't patrol because, you know, I don't want to make them afraid. But you ask them, you know, "Why, I haven't seen you at Mass lately. I don't know. Maybe one of the other priests has. I'm not here every Sunday." And I hear a lot of excuses, and then I also hear a lot of excuses get back to me. Pretty much everything that's said eventually gets back to me. Bad Mass times, too cold outside, too cold inside. I have it at 69. Is it cold? Are you cold? I'm wearing 4 layers. Too many people. I got to work. Don't like people sneezing on me. Don't like the sign of peace. Don't like touching people. Fine. Don't like the music. No offense. Don't like the priest. Don't like the deacon, but they all love the servers. One guy said to me, "You're all a bunch of phonies." And I said, "Well, come on, what's one more?" We all missed the mark. He wanted to call us hypocrites or phonies. Hey, a faithful hypocrite is better than an unfaithful hypocrite, okay? Come join us. Who said we're perfect? So the excused Christian, we can all find an excuse. We can all find one not to follow our Lord as we're called to do. The third man, like the first man, speaks up on his own. Our Lord is walking, and this guy says from the side of the road, "If I can say goodbye to my family, I will follow you, Lord." This guy is putting a condition on following Jesus. I call this guy the if-then Christian, which I do too. If God hears my prayer, I'll love him more. If I get this, I'll give that. If then, I'm going to follow Jesus on a condition. Someone once asked me why God doesn't answer his prayers. I said, maybe he did. And he said, "No, because it's not for your salvation." This if-then man was not completely ready to follow Jesus. And so putting a condition on it is so easy. I can make an if-then statement to avoid doing anything. If you don't start clapping, I'm going to preach till noon. No, don't. So we have here a little marvelous gospel, my dear people. None of these men is rejected by Jesus. They reject Jesus. And remember, Luke doesn't name them. We are the New Year's Christian. We are the excused Christian. We are the if-then Christian at any time on any given day. But our Lord wants us to be loyal and to be attentive. That's why we have this plow theme in our first reading and in our gospel today. Our Lord wants us to be loyal like Elisha was. Elisha burned his plow to cook the oxen so that he could follow Elijah. That's a dramatic act of loyalty. And then our Lord said in today's gospel, if you take your hand off the plow and turn around, you can't be fit for my kingdom. Imagine being behind 12 yoke of oxen. Imagine the attention required to keep that plow straight for the furrow. I think tractors today do it automatically. But in the time of our Lord, that's what he's talking about. That's the attention he wants, for us not to turn around, for us not to look at our past life, for us not to look at our fears or our regrets, to keep attentive on the kingdom of God. So there you have it. I'm not preaching here next weekend. Father Hochalter is going to have the masses, so I wanted to give you a little more. As we receive the Eucharist today, let's ask ourselves and let's discern our spirits how each of these men are exhibited in us. And let us pray with God's grace alone, we may become the loyal and the attentive followers he will thirst for. Amen.